The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints this month announced a change to its policy on weddings in an effort to allow more friends and family members to be able to take part in them. That comes after the church reversed policy on LGBT rights. With me via Skype to talk about the significance of these changes is Patrick Mason. He's the Howard W. Hunter Chair of Mormon Studies at Claremont Graduate University. And Patrick, let's start with the marriage policy. What had been the rule and what will now change?
Sure. So one of the most important practices, of course, for any religion is to marry people. But for Latter-day Saints, it takes on a particular importance and form because Latter-day Saints believe that their marriages, if performed in their temples, are not just until death do you part, but actually for all of eternity. So a husband and wife will be together forever and ever, along with their children and their descendants. And so it's really important for Latter-day Saints to get married in temples. But the downside to this has been that not everybody can go into Latter-day Saint temples. In fact, not even all members of the church can go into temples. You have to be a member in good standing. And so that meant that a lot of people weren't able to attend, for instance, their siblings or even their children's weddings.
So was this something that a lot of people had called on the church to do to make this change?
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't a hugely controversial thing. I mean, I think there were a lot of front burner issues for people, you know, women's issues and LGBT issues and things like this. But this had been a kind of low level issue for a long time. There wasn't a lot of public agitation around it, but certainly it was a matter that caused a lot of pain and anxiety in a lot of families.
So now, am I right that family members, even if they are not members of the church or members in good standing, will be able to attend family members or friends' weddings?
Yes and no. So what this policy means is that previously the way that it worked is that if you wanted to get married in the temple, you were not allowed to have a separate civil ceremony which people could attend. And if you chose to have a civil ceremony, you would have to wait an entire year before getting married in the temple. So what the new policy says is, in fact, now you can have a separate civil ceremony, you know, presided over by a local justice of the peace or even by the bishop of your congregation. And anybody can attend that. That's just a regular wedding. But then on the same day now, you can go into the temple and have that special ceremony that only people with the temple recommend could attend.
But the rules of who is allowed in or not allowed in the temple, it sounds like that has not changed.
That hasn't changed at all. And the church did emphasize that they said the temple wedding is the wedding that really matters, because that's the one that makes it possible for a husband and wife to be together forever and ever. But they do recognize the pain that this has caused families, so they've made this allowance. And it should be noted that this is already the way that the church has been operating in countries like France and Mexico, in which you are required to have a civil ceremony.
Let me ask you about another set of changes that the church recently made dealing with LGBTQ members. And I'm wondering how significant you think that change potentially could be.
This is really significant. So just as a little bit of background, the church for many years, for, I don't know, about the past two decades, has been making greater strides in outreach towards the LGBT community, and has taken a number of significant steps along those lines. Then about 3.5 years ago, in November of 2015, the church released a new policy in which it said a couple of different things. First of all, it said that people who were in same-sex marriages would be considered apostate by the church and therefore subject to excommunication as apostates. It also said that any children who were raised in the homes of a same-sex couple would not be allowed to receive various church rites or ordinances, including baby blessings or baptism, until they reached the age of 18. And then at that point, even if they wanted to go on a church mission, they would essentially have to denounce their parents' marriage, their same-sex marriage. So that was a policy that caused a lot of outcry and a lot of heartbreak, not just by LGBT members and families, but by the people around them. And so it was a fairly unpopular policy. And so what the church did last month is to reverse that policy and essentially go back to the way the church had been operating prior to November 2015.
Is there anything to make of these two policies taken together when you look at maybe the direction that the church is looking to move in going forward?
I think it shows that the church leadership is listening to and responsive to feedback from people. They've always said that they don't like, you know, a lot of external activism and that they won't respond to those kinds of political pressures. But I think they were getting a lot of feedback even from within the faithful center of the church, in which people were saying, you know, that these particular practices or policies were not doing the work that is essential to the church in terms of uniting families and building families. I mean, family is at the absolute core of Latter-day Saint theology. And so these policies that were seen as putting additional anxieties and stresses on families, I think now the leadership is saying that they weren't doing the work that they intended them to do.
Well, are there other issues that are sort of simmering, maybe below the surface, maybe they've bubbled up, similar to the LGBT issue that, you know, church leaders might also be looking at revisiting at some point down the road?
Well, the LGBT issues are certainly front and center. I think they continue to be and will be the number one issue for the church. The church is really walking a tightrope there in terms of trying greater outreach and inclusion for its LGBT members and the broader LGBT community, while also adhering to its own doctrines regarding traditional marriage. But I think we also need to keep our eye always on women's issues within the church. It's still the case that women are not allowed to be ordained to the Latter-day Saint priesthood, but there have also been moves to expand the role of women within church governance and give women a greater voice. I expect that we'll continue to see movement along those lines and greater expansion for women, even though I don't think women's ordination itself is on the table, at least anytime soon.
All right, that's Patrick Mason, the Howard W. Hunter Chair of Mormon Studies at Claremont Graduate University. Patrick, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.